You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining me today. Today's topic, we're going to talk about blockchain. We're going to talk about centralization, decentralization. We're going to talk about crypto and a few other things so that we can bring a little clarity to the equation, because I do believe that there's a disconnect with people understanding blockchain, and they kind of look at crypto and think crypto is blockchain, but that is not true. Blockchain is the underlying fabric that allows crypto to exist. Without it, there would be no crypto. Period. The end. This is why layer one platforms like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Pigou Novus, XRP, these platforms, and Avalanche and Cardano, these platforms allow the machine to move. Now, blockchain has a lot of use cases, and this is where the true value comes into play, because blockchain can be utilized, right now it is utilized, for cross-border payments. You know, XRP, Ripple, they basically, you know, set that a storm. They pioneered in that space. Doing that, and they did a fantastic job, still doing a fantastic job. The integration with Swift and whatnot, basically, that is one use case, right? So that you can move things a lot globally, faster, cheaper, and so on and so forth. If ever you sent a Western Union or MoneyGram, you know it's going to cost you a little bit. But if you have the ability to do it cheaper, then that's the way to go. But that's just one of many use cases. Blockchain can be utilized in manufacturing. You know, it can be utilized for data storage and basically more than that, actually, because you can integrate blockchain into current system. You can integrate blockchain into current monitoring systems. You can integrate blockchain into what's happening there. You know, you have predictive analysis and maintenance and the like, and blockchain can be integrated into there, not just for record keeping, but for security reasons. There are a lot of things that can transpire, and it's happening now. You're just not hearing about it because of all the artificial intelligence noise that's going on and all the crypto noise. People are kind of, you know, putting blockchain on the back burner as far as the attention goes, but it shouldn't be, because this is what's going to make everything move. And if you think for a second blockchain is not going to be integrated into AI, then you're out of your mind, because it's happening now as we speak. Okay, with Megahoo Technologies, this is part of what is going on there. The integration of blockchain and AI and crossing everything over and making it more, making it more scalable and secure. So you're going to see a lot of things going on there. The financial industry, of course, they benefit from blockchain, because if they have the ability to have immutable records and they have the ability to tokenize assets, this is going to be one of the key things, tokenizing real world assets, not just stocks and bonds. But if you have the ability to pretty much tokenize anything, think about the transparency that can exist. Now, the issue is this: you don't have one universal blockchain for everything. And interoperability, you know, between blockchains, it leaves a gap, because you have a bridge that is required. And that bridge, as much as you think it's secured, as much as you think that it is going, there's no way that anyone can go and infiltrate it, is as much as it can be. Because again, it's a bridge. You know, basically it's combining, it's welding, you know, to blockchains in order for them to communicate. But again, if you have a super secure blockchain, let's say like Piku Novus, you have a super, super secure blockchain, right? And it's communicating with a Bitcoin or Ethereum. No matter how secure the blockchain is, once you go out of network and you are connecting to another blockchain, those two blockchains may be super secure that you can't infiltrate them directly. But that bridge, that information traveling from point A to point B, that, my friends, that is where the danger comes in. So this is where you have that adoption that's going to be, you know, that's going to be challenging to a point. You have JP Morgan that has come out with their blockchain, and they're trying to do this, right? Are they going to accomplish it? You know, I don't think that any central agency is going to want to take the blockchain that belongs to a major institution. They're going to want something that can be universal. And that's one of the key things there. Okay, now going, and I'm going to talk about blockchain in a little bit again. But, you know, going on to crypto, institutional adoption of crypto, you know, it includes Bitcoin, Solana, XRP, Piku Novus, so on and so forth. You know, this is happening, right? So that adoption is not only for, you know, them creating ETFs and ETPs, okay? It's also for them to go and get involved in, again, with the tokenization of things. Because if you get involved in the layer ones, the ability to tokenize with that is there. It's evident, okay? But the value and the growth prospects for a lot of layer ones are great. You know, you have, I think it was Bitwise, they're issuing, they applied to issue ETFs for XRP, Solana, and a few others. And that's interesting. And Doge, right? The original meme coin, the original joke in the crypto space became real. And this is where, again, you know, the evolution of things, right? You know, the perception of reality becomes reality once somebody buys into it. Period, the end. You can have a painting. And a painting, you can have a beautiful painting on your wall. You pay $10 for it. Someone comes in that is a collector, you know, an avid collector, and they're known for collecting. They go buy that for $1,000 from you. All of a sudden, because they have that in their collection, that is worth $100,000. You see? That perception of reality becomes reality once it goes through the cycle. And that's what's happening right now with crypto. This is a reality, people. It's not going away. It's not going to subside. It's not going to, you know, disappear. It's here, and this is the future, and you're going to see more of it. You're going to see more of it. Of course, you're going to have bad actors. I mean, look at the meme coins that were coming out. I mean, the meme coins, that is that right there, people. Meme coins, that's like gambling. That's like you going to Vegas or Atlantic City and going, not forget about the slots. You're going on the roulette table, game of chance. Well, you're going and putting it down, but the problem is the fix is in, right? So you go in, and it just happened recently with the Argentina's president. You know, he went and he unknowingly spoke, you know, said a couple of nice words about a meme coin because, I don't know, he was just doing it. Now, did he do it intentionally? I doubt it. But the thing is that this Libra token was created, and it was a pump and dump and rug pull. This was similar to what transpired, you know, that still transpires in the over-the-counter and pink sheet market as it relates to the stock market. You have people that go and they create, these promoters, they create these stocks. They take these shell companies, they create a stock. All of a sudden, they promote it as the next big thing. It's the next big thing out there. So they get, you know, penny stock investors, people that are looking to go, and they're looking for that thing that can make them rich. They're seeking to be rich. They're running. So they'll go and they'll throw a couple of dollars at something. But if you take 100 people or 1,000 people throwing $1,000 into something, it starts turning out to be, you know, bigger money. And in the crypto space, because of the likes of Telegram and whatnot, it makes it easier for these promoters to push the narrative. They work in a network. You know, they work in a network. And again, meme coins are, they're nothing more than gambling tools. And they should be regulated by the gambling regulators. There's no question about it. The same way that the CFTC came in and they prevented Robinhood from issuing, you know, some derivatives based on what was going on during the Super Bowl. Okay, you know, the reality is that, yes, is that gambling? Yes, it is. However, if done the right way, it can be a money-making machine. The problem is you're going to have the likes of MGM and all these big players, DraftKings and the like, that they're going to have issue with that, or they're going to adopt it. But they're not going to want a Robinhood to get involved in that space. They're not going to want you to directly get involved in that space. So what's happening now with these meme coins is exactly what it is. You have people that are getting enticed with the prospect of getting wealthy overnight. It is a joke. It is not. With these meme coins, it's not going to happen. Okay, so the people that are making money are the people that are issuing it. The people that are making money are the people that first got in because they heard about it from the source. And those are the people that got out as soon as you bought their meme coins. And then what happens? Okay, you have something that goes from a dime to $10. And in a matter of a couple of days, it's sinking back down to probably less than a dime. And that's the reality, folks. Just be careful. Be careful. You get hype calls, messages on Telegram or wherever, whatever social media that you're on about a meme coin. You know, I even get some stuff about this DeepSeek stuff and this nonsense, and who does that? Scam artists do it. Scam artists. Don't be scammed, people. Don't be scammed. Be careful. Be careful. You work hard for your money, protect it at all costs, okay? You want to get involved in the crypto space, you can look at, you have institutions that have ETFs. You can go and play in that realm. And that's a good way if you want to deal with it with a brokerage firm. But keep in mind that banks are going to start having the ability to have custody of digital assets. That means that brokerages will. And I'm going to go through some stuff in a second so that you can understand a little further about what the potential is, right? But what I want to do, I want to take 2 minutes and I want to share an overview of the Piku Novas blockchain with you because I think it is that important that you need to hear this. You need to learn about it. You need to understand what it does, what it doesn't do, what it can do, and the potential and the platforms that are built on it. This is the great thing about it, the platforms that are built on it. Okay, you go to you have a layer one, whatever you have a digital wallet. Okay, that digital wallet may be basic at best. You go to Piku Novas, guess what? That wallet is a system. It is comprehensive. It has a terminal attached to it. It has a whole thing that's going to continue to scale. It's really, really intuitive. But I want to share this with you, so I just want to take the 2 minutes and for you to understand what's happening in the space, the potential that it has in the space, and why building with the Piku Novas blockchain will bring a lot of growth, not only to the blockchain, but to the companies that are involved, right? So take 2 minutes and just listen to this. I'm going to be right back with you.
Piku Novas is a next-generation Layer 1 blockchain network designed for speed, scalability, and security while maintaining decentralization and efficiency. Built for enterprise and institutional adoption, Piku Novas provides a robust infrastructure for high-speed transactions, asset tokenization, and decentralized applications across multiple industries, including finance, healthcare, real estate, and supply chain management. Now let's talk about some of the key features of Piku Novas. First is the speed and scalability. Piku Novas is designed to handle a high volume of transactions per second, making it suitable for financial and industrial applications. Enterprises can deploy private Layer 2 blockchain networks on Piku Novas to enhance efficiency, security, and compliance while leveraging the benefits of decentralization. Next, we have security and transparency. Piku Novas has integrated security protocols, including AI-driven threat detection and encryption, which ensure secure transactions and data integrity. Transactions on Piku Novas are permanently recorded on a decentralized ledger, enhancing transparency and trust. Let's touch on asset tokenization and smart contracts. Tokenization of real-world assets on Piku Novus is made simple. Businesses and institutions can tokenize assets such as real estate, private equity stakes, intellectual property, bonds, stocks, commodities, and other financial products, unlocking liquidity and new financial opportunities. This can be done either on Piku Novus directly or via a private or public Layer 2 blockchain. This works well for transfer agents that work with vast numbers of clients for their stock or bond records. Piku Novus enables automated, trustless transactions through customizable smart contracts, reducing operational costs and counterparty risks. Embedded within the Piku Novus system is a proprietary escrow system that can be used across all digital assets created on the Piku Novus blockchain and even Layer 2 blockchains. Next is regulatory compliance and enterprise integration. Institutions can deploy their own Layer 2 blockchain networks on Piku Novus and have built-in compliance features to meet regulatory standards. With support for FIX APIs, OTC trading desks, and financial integrations, Piku Novus caters to the needs of financial institutions, hedge funds, and private equity firms. Piku Novus is built for growth, and it's been proven through platforms being built utilizing the blockchain, such as the MChat Hive Super App and the decentralized digital asset swapping platform Hootex. Innovation is at the core of Piku Novus and is built for growth, security, scalability, and mass adoption. Another key element is Vinci. The smallest denomination of the native token of the Piku Novus blockchain Piku, this enables precision in micropayments, smart contract transactions, and developer tools. The future is very bright for Piku Novus, with innovation being at the forefront. So please join us on this journey of growth and discovery.
All right, as I said, and as you can see, Piku Novus is advanced blockchain technology, hands down. The integration potential into enterprise platforms is ridiculous. Existing and new platforms can integrate Piku Novus into the blockchain, into their systems. Wow, you know, think about it. Okay, you know, how you have a current system, you can upgrade it and integrate blockchain. Or you can have a new system. And again, integrate blockchain alongside with AI. It makes it interesting. So basically, you know, the potential is tremendous. I know that the hype is around AI, as I mentioned earlier. But don't sleep on blockchain, on the blockchain space. It's growing rapidly, quietly, and I am telling you, Piku Novus, the blockchain and everything associated with it, is one that you will be talking about with your friends soon enough. The media hasn't picked up on it. A lot of things hasn't picked up. I'm talking about it because I know and I'm looking at it. And you got to look at it. You look at it, you'll come to the same conclusion, I believe. Now, I want to shift to going back to crypto, right? I want to talk about the custody versus self-custody in crypto. You hear a lot about that, centralized, decentralized, you know, how do I know, what do I do, where do I go? The reality is, let me put this in simple terms without making this complicated. I'm going to equate custody, centralized situations as the depository trust and clearing, the DTC. If you have a brokerage account with Goldman or Morgan or whoever, JP Morgan, whoever you have your stocks with, those stocks aren't sitting in a safe with them. They're sitting at a central securities depository. So for the United States, you have DTC. Okay, in Europe, you have Euroclear and Clearstream. They're centralized depositories. They hold your stock digitally and move it to whatever firm that it needs to be moved to. So, you know, it sounds like a great idea, right? Of course, because it just makes things a lot easier for you to actually move things around and function, right? Without having to take a physical security and go and, you know, take it and walk it over to whoever's buying it, right? You know, this was developed for a reason, so it just makes it easier, you know. And this was probably the pioneering of digital, you know, way back when. There was a time that you had to go physically deliver securities, you know, to State Street or DTC, wherever you did it, you know, you had to go do that. But anyway, this decentralized part of it, sounds like a great idea, but it comes with something. It comes with loss of control. But in the stock game, you need to take the good with the bad. Because if you can't move things around quickly, guess what? You're archaic. You're a dinosaur. You can't move. You can't function properly. So it serves its purpose. It serves its purpose. And again, you take the good with the bad. They have the ability to go lend your stock out when a firm wants to do it. They want to go lend it out. They borrow it from them. They go lend it out to a client that wants to short a stock and so on and so forth. And this is how that goes. This is why you have companies that yell and scream about the shorts. But when you have the securities at a central security depository and they're sitting there and a client is holding them, they hold it digitally on their app or in their account. The firm holds it digitally. It's the central security deposit in the US, DTC, they hold it, period. Euroclear, Clearstream, they hold it, period. They transfer it where they need to transfer it. All right, so they have the ability to have these lending protocols and so on and so forth. This is how you're able to get margin. They all this stuff is integrated. So, you know, if you look at a centralized exchange like a DTC that holds your assets to make it easier for you to move things around, that's what it is. But again, it comes at a cost. Comes at loss of control. And in the crypto space, well, you want to have self-custody. You want decentralization. But, you know, in a perfect world, that sounds fantastic, but that's not realistic. There has to be a balance between the two, because, and I'm going to go over why. All right. So, look, centralized exchanges are kind of like a central securities depository, DTC, Euroclear, and Clearstream, right? They control, a centralized crypto exchange, they control the digital assets. They hold them. They have what should be a fiduciary responsibility, right? But, time and time again, we've seen that fail. We've seen, companies go out of business. They fail. And in 2022, that was like, whew, that was a big thing, right? But I'll touch on that in a second. So is Coinbase different? Is Binance different? Well, we need to weigh the pros and the cons. And look, you can decide what you think is the reality. All right, I'm not going to make that decision for you. You can do that yourself. You're smart people. You're listening to the show, so you got to be smart, right? You know, transparency. You know, stock brokerage firms, they can't do what they want. A brokerage firm, whether it be a big or a small, they need the stocks. All these securities, they need them to go through DTC or Euroclear, through a central depository, securities depository. They need that to go through there because, you know, that's the law, right? It's not like they can go do things themselves. With crypto, centralized exchanges are beholden to themselves until something goes wrong. When something goes wrong, what would a DTC like centralized crypto depository work across the asset class? Would it work? Could it work? That is the biggest question of them all. You know, it could, but then it couldn't. The problem is this. Can Coinbase or Binance use your crypto to lend out today? Can they generate revenue from your holdings on your deposits? Similar to how you having money at the bank and the bank lends out your money. They don't have it physically. They're lending it out. They're making money. They're turning that, baby. They're turning it. Do you think they're not doing that with your assets, whatever they may be? Of course they are. So when things go wrong, who is responsible? Well, as I said, we saw in 2022, the breakdown of it all. You know, SBF, I mean, it's funny. I implore you to go and listen to the nonsense that was being said on CNBC, Bloomberg, and a lot of other financial news organizations. They called him the JP Morgan of crypto. He was the the pioneer of crypto. He was the guy. He was the man, myth, and legend. He was the one that was going to go change it all, right? Because this is what they wanted you to believe. But guys, don't believe the hype. Okay, that what happened then showed the kink in the armor that shouldn't exist, right? They shouldn't exist. The crypto space has to go and basically, you know, lay down the law. If you have bad actors out there, work on figuring out how to prevent it from happening. This is why layer one blockchains need to put things in place to kind of prevent the bad actors from creating meme coins and doing the like. You know, there's ways to do it. You if you adhere to KYC, you're gonna know who's doing it. Can't do that? Sure you can. Piku Novus does it. They do it. They go and they verify. They vet any organization that's going to create a token. You just can't do it willy nilly. You have to go and be vetted to do that. Now, some people don't like it. Some people do. But you know what? It protects the integrity of the blockchain and the integrity of the tokenization of it all. All right? So, the kink in the armor, in crypto, it shouldn't exist, but it does, and it still does. If centralized crypto exchanges, centralized ones, are able to have their clients' assets and use them to lend out, this would mean that either they are depositing those digital assets with a lending platform or they're doing it directly. Either way, the customer doesn't win in that respect, right? And now I'm going to play devil's advocate here, right? Now, with Coinbase or Binance, okay, do they allow you to lend it, out yourself via their platform? That's a bigger question because custody is the name of the game. Self-custody puts you directly in control while putting your digital assets in the custody of a company that takes away all that control from you. You can't do anything. If you deposit Bitcoin, Ethereum, or whatever it is with a centralized exchange, they got it. They got the control. You see it in your wallet, of course, with them. But it's all, it's there. It's just showing your holdings. It's not there, really, right? It's just showing an account that, hey, you have this here with us, and you can do this stuff. So they do stuff on their system. And then they settle things at the end of the day or whenever they need to settle it, right? There has to be some sort of lag if you want to move things out of these centralized exchanges because they have to settle things up with you. Now, should they be able to do that? Well, think about it. What are the benefits of a Coinbase or a Binance, of a centralized exchange? The benefits are liquidity. The benefits are you have somewhat of a protective measure because, they hold your keys. Your keys are everything, right? So they hold the keys, so you have it there, right? So now if you're trading on their system, you don't have to worry about somebody stealing your keys and you sending your crypto to a nefarious group that are just trying to rob you and scam you and doing all this other stuff like they're doing right now with the crypto ATMs, which is ridiculous. People, don't fall for that crypto ATM scam. Somebody calls you, go here and go deposit there. That, Pritzker in Illinois, what he's trying to do is trying to ban it. But you know what? If you are going to ban that, then ban gift cards because they do the same thing with that. Banning doesn't help. How about putting protective measures in place? That will help. On gift cards, on crypto ATMs, have some regulation on that, further regulation, all right? But I got off the topic. We're going back to centralized exchanges. They bring liquidity, period, the end. They allow you to move things easily. You don't have to worry about somebody, taking things from you. They keep the machine moving. So they have their place, and they probably deserve the right to generate revenue off your deposits for that privilege. Why not? They're going and they're helping you to go and take your Bitcoin, whatever crypto, and deposit it, trade it. You say, okay, I have to go pay my mortgage, or I have to go, something came up, I have to go pay this. Well, basically, you can go sell it in the open market based on their platform, and you can have fiat currency. Within a few days, I'm sure. All right. The bottom line is that they serve a purpose, and they shouldn't be crucified for being centralized. They shouldn't be crucified for holding your assets. They're doing something for you. It's quid pro quo. They're doing something for you, so you're going to do something for them. If they're not making money off of you, guess what? They wind up going out of business. And then guess what? You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go. And this is what people fail to see. Everybody wants, but they don't want to give. You got to give a little to get a little. And don't crucify the Coinbases, the Binances of the world and say, they're centralized. They hold all my digital assets. They're making money off of me. Well, go to the bank. Put your money in the bank. What's the bank going to do? They're going to take your money. They're going to lend it out for mortgages and so on and so forth. They're going to make on it. They're going to make on those deposits. Are you going to the bank with a picket sign protesting them? I don't think so. Look at it in that respect. Look at it like that, because if you do, it's all going to make sense, because the crypto market is coming. It's here, right? It is coming into its own. That's what I meant to say. It's coming into its own. It is a true, unadulterated, undisputed asset class. Like gold, like bonds, like stocks. Okay? Just like commodities, it is an asset class. Why do you think the CFTC is on this like white on rice? They have been from the beginning. Okay, and now with what's going on in the United States and Washington, and what is going to be transpiring with the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, I think a lot of unveiling of everything and anything that was going on with the SEC over the past 4 years is going to become evident. Okay, and how the evolution of the crypto space has been held back and put in a chokehold, pretty much. And picture this. Picture someone that weighs 500 pounds and putting you in a chokehold and leaning on top of you. That's going to hurt. All right, so this is what has happened over the past few years during the last administration, and I think this is all going to change. It's going to open things up. This is why I want to do this show, and I'm going to continue to do shows like this, because it is going to give you information. It's going to go do things. So look, even in Hong Kong, they're eyeing crypto derivatives. They're doing this centralized push. They're looking at lending protocols, things of that nature. Why? Because this is the future. When you have centralized organizations, they're holding your assets. What are they going to do? Have them just sit there? No, circulate it. This is how you have currency markets. This is how you have forex. This is how you have all this stuff. Things circulating all over the world all at one time. And how cool is that? We're here, people. Crypto is here. It is part of the future of finance. Blockchain, oh, it's a powerful thing. Don't sleep on that. AI, well, we know where AI is going. Look at the billions and billions and billions that are just being thrown in there to be at the forefront of the next generation of things. And it's going to be interesting. And watch how quantum computing is going to come into play. And Google, you know, they've been at the forefront of that for a long time. It's just very difficult, right? Anyway, I want to thank you and that's it for the show, by the way. I just want to thank you for tuning in and listening. And I hope that, you know, I hope that you gathered something from the show and gathered some input, something that can help you. Okay. And yeah, you know, I'm going to continue to do these shows in order to help with that whole process and help to bring more information to the table and hopefully get some guests on here that can bring you an unfiltered, untainted view of the space. Okay? All right. Anyway, thank you again, and you guys have a fantastic day and have a great trading day, and go out there and do some research. Do your homework. Look at all the ETFs that are coming out. Look at all the layer one blockchains that are coming out, and look at what's happening. Not the layer one blockchains that are coming out that are there and they're making a difference. Okay, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus, Avalanche, Cardano, look at these. Look at them. They're worth it. All right, guys. You take care. Thank you.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio. In your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Velazquez and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.